This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Bobbing for apples and so much candy. Jack-o'-lanterns, bats and skulls, skeletons and spiders, and so many ghosts. What does Halloween have to do with the Christian church anyway? Pope Gregory III and Gregory IV decreed the day to be a universal church observance, honoring all the saints who died. But All Hallows' Eve was a time when the dead would mingle among the living. Samhain, Lord of the Dead, judged those who died and decreed the form of existence they would become, whether human again or perhaps some kind of animal. Does this appear to be Christian to you? Why would these customs and traditions, which are so tightly connected with rank paganism, become adopted as a Christian holy day? Stay with us as we investigate the question, is Halloween a Christian holy day?
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings again, and welcome to another telecast of the Armor of God. I'm Bronson James, your host for today. I have a very interesting subject to present to you. It's one that stirs a lot of rancor in the minds of some because they don't see it as all that important. But when it comes to God, we cannot overestimate or underestimate is probably the better term, what he would say about the things we choose to do. First, let me preface our program by saying this. You and I were born into a ready-made world. It doesn't matter what part of the world you live in, but in the societies around us, there were things already in place. People were already engaged in them, actively going about their lives, and it's become even more prescient today simply because of the mass communication ability to go onto the internet and through all media out there. You can present ideas and systems and circumstances that used to take quite a few days, if not years, to communicate. But today, in the society in which we live, there are things already in place. Take, for instance, the observance of something called Halloween. Strange word, isn't it? Halloween. What in the world does that mean? Where did it come from? And how did we latch onto it, or it latch onto us? Because in the world in which we live, we see some people growing very much chagrined about the practice of Halloween or the observance of it, except for those who are party people, who love to go to a good party to dress up in strange outfits, and usually centered around things like wizards and witches, goblins, ghosts, all kinds of nefarious individuals, including perhaps Freddy, the guy from one of those sci-fi or those blood and guts and gore movies, you know what I'm talking about. People being sliced and diced all over the place. Some people go to these parties dressed as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre people. Or they go with an axe in their heads or their skulls with fake blood and all those kinds of things. And they present themselves at that time of the year when a celebration is going on. But has anyone ever asked the question, where does Halloween come from? It seems on the surface to have some very strong satanic presence, wouldn't you say? Witches, ghosts, goblins, etc.? Well, I don't know about you, but in the world in which I have found myself, I decided to ask some questions many years ago and began to get some answers by opening up my Bible. You too can do that. It's a simple process. And read what is proclaimed to be the Word of God, which gives us directions about so many things of our lives. We don't have to fumble in the darkness as people who have no light or no eyesight as to what pleases or displeases God Almighty. And so in today's program, we're going to talk about Halloween from the perspective of what God says about it. And for all of you who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, claim to be part of the family of God, then you would want to pay attention to this. If you're not one of those individuals, perhaps this program is not for you. But first, let me tell you what we're offering in today's program that I think will be of benefit to every one of us. First of all, the booklet is entitled Trick or Treat, familiar phrase, very often used and associated with the observance of Halloween. Trick or Treat, you can read it in one sitting very easily. But also, there is a sermon presented, and in contrast to what we call holidays, Almighty God in His Word reveals something called Holy Days. And you'd want to get an overview of what that is. And Van Stinson has offered a sermon entitled Overview of the Holy Days. You'll be able to contrast paganism and holidays versus the holy days of God that please Him when we observe them. You can receive these materials very easily, toll-free, free of charge by calling 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on the website at www.cgi.org. And if you're interested in viewing our services that are provided by webcasting on our website, you can simply tune in on a Saturday, and by going to the website, you will get the times that that is being aired, and we encourage you to take advantage of that. Now on to today's program. Before I continue, I must acknowledge the presence of my sidekick today. He's my co-host, you might say, you know, cohort, co-host, Jack. I don't know if Jack is going to have anything to say. Let's see. As usual, Jack O'Lantern doesn't want to talk in public. He is here just to give me moral support in what I'm presenting to you. Notice that gap-tooth grin of his and the light shining inside that doesn't seem to bring any illumination to the practitioners of observing Halloween. But let's go on. Jack wants me to let you know some things that I think might be of interest to you. First of all, I am stunned by people who claim to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ or claim to be worshipers of God and yet are engaged in activities, whether it's Easter, Christmas, different things like that, New Year's Eve, but in particular this day, Halloween. Just to give you a little thumbnail sketch of its history, there are many societies in the world that have practices that are questionable, whether it's the religion of voodooism that is present throughout South Africa, or South America, I should say, and also through the Caribbean, and in the southern regions of the United States, particularly in the city of New Orleans. That's not a put-down to New Orleans dwellers there, but it's a fact of the matter. You take a look at their Mardi Gras buildup and the parades that go on weekend after weekend till they come to Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday. And there are many images associated with that practice. Then when you go into voodooism, there are people who cast bones down and read them. They read tarot cards. They even have what we might call these fortune-telling balls, these crystal balls into which you peer and then suggest some things about your future. Also, we have individuals who have what we would call seances. And it's never more popular than at the time of Halloween to perhaps get in touch with the dead. You see, Halloween happens on October the 31st. It is followed in the Roman Catholic Church and in Christendom in general with the practice of what's called All Saints Day. All Saints Day, always November the 1st, but generally celebrated the first Sunday following November the 1st. In all of our church services and worship services, for those who believe in giving some honor to the saints that have passed on. To contrast that, there were a group of people known as the Druids. They were priests in the British Isles, and they inculcated a practice and a worship around Stonehenge, around the presence of ideas about the dead. In fact, the Spanish have a term for it, and I'm not quite up on my Spanish, but it's about recognizing the day of the dead, morte, the dead. Well, I don't know about you, but the Bible doesn't say anything about worshiping the dead. In fact, it warns against it. I'm going to show you some scriptures in a moment. But it seems to me that if we're going to be engaged in activities that the Druids, a priestly class, that had nothing to do with Yahweh, the Almighty God, they came up with some ideas of how to worship the dead on Halloween or All Hallows Eve that precedes the day known as All Saints Day, November the 1st. And as a result of it, there are practices that have filtered out through the world, in particular in the Western world, here in the United States, Canada, and all of those Western societies where they love to have fun and a good time, and after all, it's for the kids. Okay, big kids, the big ones, you know, the ones of you who have passed 21 and still find it important and appropriate to engage in that kind of activity. Look at how you dress. Look at what you do. You go to your jobs dressed as some kind of nefarious character, and you wind up getting upset and bothered because you drink too much at these gatherings, you know what I'm talking about, and you party hardy, and the next day you have very little left. In fact, sometimes you have to take a day off to recuperate from all the activities involved with Halloween. Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And what's associated with it is something to do with the dead. Let me read a scripture to you here from the book of Leviticus. Old Testament, yes, but I'm going to show you some things in the New Testament that you should consider as well. The Old Testament is a roadmap that God provides. In fact, the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are called the Torah, which simply means the way, the way. And if that series of books tell us the way to God, the way to please God, that the ancient Israelites flubbed badly. They were warned against certain activities. And if we find in an analysis of our modern day that we are engaged in activities that were eschewed by God, condemned by God, commanded that we not engage in these kinds of things, especially in association with the worship of Him, why wouldn't we in the 21st century take another look at what displeases our Creator? In Leviticus, the 20th chapter, and verse 27, here's what it says here. A man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit. That's a kind way of talking about a demon possession or demon influence. Or that is a wizard. We're off to see the wizard. The wonderful Wizard of Oz. Oh, we love that movie. It's a great old movie, you know. Judy Garland singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow and all of the chicanery that went on, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, all of the things associated with that movie, but they were going not to see God Almighty, but to see a wizard who could trick something, flim-flam something. And remember the two witches, a good witch and a bad witch. The good witch was dressed up in a nice frock, the bad witch always in black, I mean, zooming through the skies on a broomstick. Oh my, she's awful. She's an evil witch. But the good witch, well, we can keep her around because she's looking good, feeling good. But the Bible says of a wizard, surely shall it be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Now, you mean to tell me that this should be a practice among God's people? Well, it was in the ancient world. But you're saying to yourself, well, we can't take the law in our own hands. We can't go out and stone anybody today. Well, stoning, electrocuting, a slow drip, IV solution to snuff out their lives, they're still dead, aren't they? But in the ancient world, God required that the society be rid of those kinds of influences. You say, well, that's only about the wizards. Well, let's just back up. Because the verse that precedes it tells why God is making this injunction. It says in verse 26, "And you shall be holy unto me. For I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." You can't worship me the way other people do it. You can't do it the way the Druids do it. You can't do it the way those who practice Rastafarianism or who practice all other kinds of religion that involve talking to the dead and setting up all kinds of altars and perhaps even human sacrifices. And the ancient worlds that we see show us that that was the engagement. And so here we are being told that God is holy. Back up in verse 7 of this same chapter, it says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be you holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." How holy should believers be? Well, some churches today have recognized that Halloween is not a good thing to have their children engage in, so they're having an alternative kind of gathering. They invite the children to the church. They don't let them dress up in costumes and that kind of thing unless they're good guys, you know, fairies, pixies, those kinds of things. But how close can you get to the fire and not get burned? But the idea is to bring children together and have some fun and some frolicking together away from the streets, because in so many major cities, here's what we are finding. We're finding, along with my friend Jack here, Jack says that some people actually try to poison children by putting poison in candies, putting razors or needles in apples, all kinds of horrible, horrific things at this time of trick or treating. Remember the movie Meet Me in St. Louis and all that went on in that particular segment? They went through the various holidays of the time, and when it came to Halloween, the young girl played by Margaret O'Brien dressed up as a hobo, I think it was, and she was out and about doing her thing with the other children in the neighborhood, and they went to soap up some windows and knock over some trash cans. You know, give me a treat or I will trick you. That's extortion, blackmail. That's the kind of activity that we would not want to teach our children, but we do, don't we? I see the parents walking out in the streets, and some of them are hit by cars because you can't see them and the kinds of uniforms that they're wearing or costumes they're wearing. But they go about this activity implanting in the minds of their children the notion that if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to make a mess of your place. How many of you have experienced that? How many of you make sure you're gone from your home, turning all the lights off so you won't be disturbed by people coming to bother you with all of their trick or treating? Well, there's some more in the Old Testament I want to share with you very briefly here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. And see something else that God says. He's even more emphatic here. He expands on what I presented from Leviticus 20. So here in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, let's take a look at verse 9. It says, "When you are coming to the land which the Lord your God gives you." Now, let me pause right there. This is applying to the children of Israel who are preparing in the book of Deuteronomy to go into the land known as Palestine, or Canaan land, if you will. And so they're about to go into the land, and Moses is saying, now, when you get ready to go into the land, let me remind you of what God has said. But where you're living today, if you live in the United States, for example, we say that God gave us this land, that he made it possible for us to come from all over the world into this land. And if God gave us this land because he owns everything, Wouldn't it be wonderful if we listened to the owner, read the owner's manual, the Bible? For instance, Deuteronomy 18, continuing with verse 9, that you shall learn not to do the things of the abominations of the nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divinations, or an observer of times, you know, astrology, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. You know, these soothsayers, these people you go to see. And that's what the wizard was in the movie The Wizard of Oz. Remember the character played by Frank Morgan, I believe. First he was in the real world of Kansas. He was simply a fortune teller. But now he matriculates into the color portion of the presentation, and he's the wizard, a consulter of familiar spirits, or a necromancer. I like that, necromancer, the fancy word. It means those who communicate with the dead. Necromancer. And how do we communicate with the dead on Halloween, All Hallows Eve? Well, we pretend to play characters that, well, don't seem to die. Vampires, for instance. We try to play individuals like the Night of the Living Dead, walking through, staring unfocused in the world to see who you can deal with. And you, as the victim, got to communicate with the dead to get on their good side, get on the good foot, if you will. Well, the situation is quite stressing when you consider that God says in verse 12, "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you, the nations into which you're going. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God, for those nations which you shall possess hearkened unto observers of times, unto diviners, but as for me, the Lord your God has not suffered you to do so." My friends, this is startling. And it contrasts the behavior that God desires in his holiness. He requires those who follow him to be holy. Not get as close to the fire as you can and just get your hair singed a little bit. No, he wants you to come out of Babylon, come out of confusion, come out of the situations that would destroy us. For instance, in the New Testament, and I know you're saying, well, you read all the Old Testament stuff. Now, what do we have here in the New Testament that would be helpful to us? Well, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse 14. Now, don't think that I'm just hopscotching through the Bible and just picking and choosing, but remember I talked about the holiness of God and that his expectations, even on the ancient people of Israel, was to be holy as he is holy. And now here in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, look at what it says in the 12th chapter and verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man, no human being shall see the Lord." What? You mean to tell me I just can't have a little fun with the Halloween bit and dressing up with ghosts and goblins? And my friend Jack here says, no, you can't be that. You can't fall off the turnip truck or the pumpkin truck like my friend Jack and think God is going to be pleased with that. He says that you cannot see me if you engage in such activity. Furthermore, in 1 Peter, and everybody knows that Peter walked with Jesus Christ, had some insight into the mind of Christ. And so here in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and verse 5, it says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." What is not acceptable to God is our engaging in activities that would be deleterious to our lives and the lives of our children, by engaging in false activity and phony baloney religion that came from a resource that was not even godly in the first place. It further goes on to say in verse 9, but you believers, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. What's associated with Halloween? Darkness. I remember when I was a young kid and was in a play at school and had to wear the skeleton outfit, you know, that would glow in the dark. So Halloween rolled around, and some of our buddies, we were going out trick-or-treating, but there was some activity at the Booker T. Washington Apartments in Columbus, Georgia, giving you all a shout-out down there, because I know those projects still exist. But that's where I grew up. And in that office space, they had a little get-together, a little party. And they told me, you've got on your skeleton outfit. Why don't you just go in there and scare everybody? And so I went in expecting everybody to be scared, and nobody paid attention because there were other ghosts and goblins and gooses and all kinds of people dressed in their attire, and I was just another log on the fire, irrelevant and insignificant. But God Almighty wants us to recognize that in our relevancy to Him, in our holiness to Him, He expects us to live a certain way of life and to step away from the activities that would separate us from Him. That's why I want you to take time to make sure you make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on the website, www.cgi.org, to receive the free material we're offering in today's program. And to remind you, the booklet is entitled Trick or Treat, and a sermon that gives an overview about the alternative to the world's holidays, the Holy Days of God, an overview of the Holy Days by Van Stinson. And I know that if you make the call, if you make the contact, we will be more than happy to serve you toll-free without charge. You will never be asked for money, because as God gives to us, we give freely to those who would wish, who wish to receive it. So till next time, I'm Bronson James. Just want to hold up my crazy tie here, show you what it looks like. It's a Halloween tie that someone in Detroit gave me, and I told them I was going to put it on the broadcast. Shame the devil, you know. And let them see that Satan does not have power, but God Almighty has. That's why you and I should put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that we will be able to stand in the evil day. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.